Psalm 71. The message today is the God of old men and old women, if there are any. I want to read several passages. All having to do with this subject. Psalm 71. In thee, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Verse 9. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Now, verse 17. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Yea, even when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have declared thy strength unto the next generation, thy might to everyone that is to come. Now, Genesis 47. This incident is when Joseph brings in his father Jacob and introduces him to Pharaoh. Verse 7. And Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how many are the days of the years of thy life? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from the presence of Pharaoh. Now, 48. Verse 15. And he, Jacob, blessed Joseph and said, the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God who hath shepherded me all my life long unto this day, the angel who hath redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Now, Isaiah 46. Verse 3. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, that have been born by me from their birth, that have been carried from the womb, and even to old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, yea, I will carry and will deliver. In one other passage in Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And the portion in Hebrews, let your manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For himself hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your exceeding great and precious promises. Lord, we have read a few of them, and we have read also of the reactions of men who have heard these promises. Let us know our hearts, face answereth to face. And so today, help us as we consider the God of old men and old women, our God, and teach us what you would have us to know. You are able by thy Spirit to accomplish thy will, to undertake for us. Bless us, we pray. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As I look over this audience, there is only one man older than I am, and you all know who he is. David said this, I have been young, and now I am old. What young person here can say that? There's one thing I can say that none of you young people can say. You may believe that you know everything, but you can only say, I am young. But David said, I have been young, and now I am old. And he gives his observation of life. He said, yet have I never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I told that once to an older brother in the Lord, and I said, has that been your observation of life? And he said, no. He said, it was David's observation, but it has not been mine. Think of that. If you read through the Bible, you will read things that occurred to righteous men. And this brother would say, I have not seen that fulfillment. I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. He said, no, he said, that has not been my experience. Now let me ask you this. If you were John the Baptist, and a lewd woman said, I want his head on a platter, and God allowed your head to be cut off, would you think that God had never forsaken the righteous? When James, the brother of John, was cast into prison, and Herod put him to death, one of the 12 apostles, would you think that God was a righteous God who did not forsake his children? When Job has 10 children and God allows them all to be slain in a moment of time, would you think that God was righteous and he had never forsaken them? You say, I'm not able to answer that question. This is the point. In Romans, it speaks about God judging. He said, is God unrighteousness who judges with wrath? He says, if this were so, God could not judge the world. So you'll never be able to understand the ways of God, but however inscrutable they are, I'm prepared to say with David, I've been young and now am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken. I've seen things that have happened to them that I could not explain. But I'm going to believe the promises of God as our Savior and as Hebrews tells me. With boldness we may say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And the Lord Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now you either believe that or you do not believe that. And you have to say at times with Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. If any man could distrust God, it would be Job. But he said this, even if he slays me, yet I'm going to trust him. So, as I look over my life, and I'm older than anybody here, excepting one, I can say this, that I have never been forsaken, and I have never begged bread. I've been in the Lord's work for more years than most of you are old. I've never asked for one penny from anyone. And yet, how do I look this morning? God has provided all my needs. And so I can say, I have been young and now I am old. I, as a righteous one, have never been forsaken. And now that John the Baptist is in heaven with the Lord, do you think that he's saying to God, I have a score to settle with you. Why did you let that woman do to me what she had done to me? It will all be understood because it says in 1 Corinthians 13, we know in part and we prophesy in part. It said, but when that which is perfect, no longer in a mirror darkly, but we shall see clearly and we shall see fully. Now I know in part, I prophesy in part, but then shall I know fully, even as also I was fully known. And so that's the promise of God. He says, you know in part. And Paul tells us this, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. And yet, when Job brings God to task, the Lord never explains to Job why he did to him what he did, nor does he make any apologies. So remember that. Whatever has happened to us when we get to heaven, do not think that you're going to go to God and say, now I'm ready for an apology for what came into my life. It says this, is God unrighteousness? If God is unrighteous, then he says, I cannot judge the world. There will be no judgment seat of Christ. There will be no great white throne. And so what we have to do is to accept by faith the truth that God has set forth in his word. Let me tell you two things, that our Savior prepares us for that. When Thomas, who was not with the disciples on that resurrection morning, was told by them, the Lord is alive. And he said, I will not believe it until I have physical proof. And so about a week later, the Lord came and he heard what Thomas had said. He said, Thomas, put forth your finger and put it in my hands and take your fist and thrust it in my side and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas said unto him, my Lord and my God. That's all it took, the appearance of the Lord Jesus. And then what he said, I will not believe, immediately he believed. And the Savior said this, he said, Thomas, you have believed because you have seen. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. How many of you have ever seen God with your physical eye? Have you ever heard the voice of God with your physical ear? The Savior says this, never forget it. He says, blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. That includes all of us. And it's the only thing that is ever going to be our portion unless we are among an exceptional few who had that privilege. Do you realize that for generation after generation since creation, there was no human being that was contesting about evolution or creation, because the Creator was talking to his creature, Adam. And then when two sons were born, Cain and Abel, then God was talking to Cain and to Abel. And then, during all these periods of time, God, who spoke personally, they were able to see what they could of God. They were able to hear his voice. God, from the beginning, made himself manifest to man. And this is what it says in Romans chapter 1. It said, at one time, man, knowing God, glorified him not as God, neither gave thanks. And it said, and his senseless heart was darkened. And so, from the first, man has known God. But then he glorified him not as God, neither gave God thanks. And so God let darkness flood his soul. His senseless heart was darkened. And so now, if you go to the wise men of the world in the universities and ask, was man created or evolved? They would all laugh at you. They think we are fools. And yet, in a coming day, when they stand before God, Adam will laugh at him, and Cain even will laugh at him, and Abel and Noah will laugh at him, and Enoch will laugh at him. Why? Because they are ones who have seen. And in that coming day, Thomas, very sympathetic, but he will laugh as well, because he said, unless I had seen, I had not believed. But God has decided now that without seeing, we are to believe. And so he has put us in this position. But what has happened is this. We cannot be too severe on those who have not seen and have not believed for this reason. Some of those choice servants of God have had that same feeling, have had that time in their life when doubts have arisen. Let me ask you this. If you were like John the Baptist and you had heard God from heaven say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, could you ever doubt that Jesus was the Son of God? You say no. And yet what happens in Luke 7 is this. John is in prison. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But now he's in prison. And he's thinking over the developments. And he calls two of his followers and says, go and ask Jesus this. Are you he that should come, or look we for another? Who could imagine such a thing? He has heard the voice of God from heaven. He has seen the Spirit of God descend as a dove and come upon Christ. And God said, that's the way you are to know who the Messiah is. And he had seen that from heaven. And yet in prison he says, are you the one that should come? Or have I been wrong? Am I to look for another? So do not think that you are exempt from the temptation to believe that God will abandon you. I think all of us here believe this. We have eternal life. We will never perish. And yet, At times, I wonder if we believe that. Listen to what David says in Psalm 51. He says, "Cast me not off. I've sinned, O God. Cast me not away. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." This is David, the man after God's own heart. John the Baptist says, "Are you the coming Messiah, or do we look for another?" And that's why I read to you in Psalm 71. Here is a man who says, "I have trusted you from my youth." But now he's become an old man. And he says, "Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth." He said, "Yea, even when I am old and gray-headed, forsake me not." Who would ever think of such a thing? Would you be so bold to say, "I prayed that prayer to God. I prayed that God will not cast me off"? I think that I would say, "Nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord." That's what I would say. But I know better than John the Baptist, and I know better than David, even though I have a revelation from God. And he who hath seen heaven open and heard the voice of God still asks, "Are you he who comes, or look we for another?" I remember a bold man named Peter. And the Savior said, "You're going to deny me." And Peter said, "Never. I'm prepared to die." The Lord Jesus said, "You are going to deny me." So do not think that God may not allow something to come into your life that will never cause you to say, "I will never doubt God." That's why I read to you from Psalm 71. An old man saying, "Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth." And that is what can happen in the time of old age. Think of Paul in prison. He who has faithfully served the Lord, and some of his most glorious epistles are written, and he is a prisoner. And at the last, this is what he says, "At my first defense, no man took my side, may it not be laid to their charge." He said, "But the Lord stood by me. And he shall deliver me from every evil work, and save me unto his heavenly kingdom. And this is he when all men have abandoned him." And so at the last, he said, "He will save me to his heavenly kingdom." But now, here are some of the great characters in the Word of God. I've told you about David, and I've told you about this man in Psalm 71. But I read the interview that Jacob had with Pharaoh. Think, the greatest ruler on earth. And Joseph brings in his father Jacob. So beware when you introduce an old man to someone of importance. You do not know what an old man is going to say. But think of this, the greatest man in the world. And when Jacob comes in, he says, "Pharaoh," he said, "bow your head, I'm going to bless you." Can you imagine such a thing? And so Jacob blesses Pharaoh. And then Pharaoh looks at him, and Jacob is an old man at that time. And Pharaoh says to Jacob, "How many are the days of the years of thy life?" And this is what Jacob says to the ruler of the world. He says, "The days of the years of my life have been few and evil." Can you imagine talking that way to the most important man on earth? Just like somebody that you're walking down the street and you say, "Well, how are you?" And he says, "How much time do you have? Let me tell you all the troubles that have come into my life." And that is what this old man is doing. He is now 130 years old, and he thinks back over his life. And he says this, "Few and evil have been the days of the years of my pilgrimage. And he says, I have not yet attained unto the days of the years of the life of my father. And it's true for this reason. His father Abraham had lived 175 years. His father Isaac had lived 180 years. And he was 130 years of age. And what he said was true. He lived 17 more years, but he never attained that point in age that his fathers attained. And so he had thought about it. And he thought over 130 years of his life, and this is what he said. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my pilgrimage. Think if you had lived 130 years, and your evaluation of your life has been, I haven't lived long, and the years that I've lived, they've been just a few, and they've been evil years. And that was his outlook on life when he was 130 years of age. But thank God, he had 17 more years to live. And that's why I read another utterance from Jacob later in his life. This is what he said when he was blessing Joseph. He said, the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God who hath shepherded me my whole life long to this day, the angel who hath delivered me from all trouble, bless the lads. Think the change now. He thinks back over his father Abraham. He says, the God of my father Abraham. Abraham walked with God, and my father Isaac walked with God. And he says, now, the God who has shepherded me all my life long unto this day. Before he had said, my days have been few and evil. But at the end of his life, he says, the God who has shepherded me my whole life long unto this day. And he said, also, the angel who has delivered me from all trouble. He says, the God of the past, the God that is my God, now I want that God to be the God of Manasseh and Ephraim and Joseph and all my sons. I want the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob to be their God. Why? Because at last he had seen, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. And at the end he saw that God had not forsaken him, but he had brought to pass every promise that he had made to him. But think, going through life 130 years, thinking that your days have been few and evil, and saying this, all these things are against me. And his son was a far nobler and greater individual than Jacob, his father. Jacob's son, Joseph, is cast into prison unjustly. And yet, in prison, Joseph never accuses God. God says whatever happened. He says, all these things have been arranged by God for your blessing. He sent me into Egypt. He said, these things aren't evil. He said, these are the arrangements of God. And so some are able to see things, and others are not able to see things. But rejoice that Jacob, before he died, saw the goodness of God. And what I fear is this. It has never happened that I have doubted the faithfulness of God. I've never prayed this prayer. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. I've never prayed that prayer. But this is a prayer that I might need to pray, and you too. May I not cast you off, God, in the time of my old age. Will you remember that? I can promise you God will never cast you off, but you may cast God off. If you knew Solomon's other name that God gave him, it was Jedediah. It means one loved of the Lord. That was when Solomon was young. But it said, when Solomon was old, his heart went after many foreign women. And the judgment of God had to fall upon him. You see why I tell you, I'm not going to pray, oh God, cast me not off. But I could easily pray to God, oh God, may I not cast you off in the time of old age. Because things happen to you. You have friends, you have an environment. This age in which we live is one that rejects God, that is continually attacking you and telling you everything that's wrong with God and that there is no God and that you are chance, not from the created hand of God. And so these temptations can come. You say, they would never happen to me. They happened to John the Baptist. It happened to the psalmist. And also, it happened to David. This is what David said. God had promised him that he would reign over Israel. And this is what David said. He said, I shall now one day perish by the hand of King Saul. There is nothing better for me to do than to cast in my lot with the Philistines. Can you imagine such a thing? When God had made David the promise, you're going to rule over Israel. And David said, one day I'm going to be killed by Saul. Think of the contrast of the words of the Lord Jesus. When Pilate says to our Savior, he said, do you not understand that I have power to crucify you and to release you? The Lord Jesus said, you would have no power against me at all, except it were given thee from above. Understand that. This is the Savior's outlook when all men have forsaken him. Not only Peter, but all his disciples forsook him and fled. And when Pilate says to him, I have power to crucify you. The Lord Jesus said, you have no power against me at all, except it were given thee from above. Now, that is the faith of God that I want. I want the faith that never doubts that God will forsake me. But I want also the reality of facing the fact that someday I may abandon God. It does not mean that Solomon stopped believing in God, but it meant that his life at the end was a dishonor to God, an introduction to idolatry. All these wives that had foreign gods, he would build a temple for them, give them gods, do anything that they wanted. Whereas in his heart, he understood. And what can happen is you can suppress the Spirit of God. Why do you think it says in the New Testament, grieve not the Spirit of God, quench not the Spirit of God? Why do you think it says that? Because even though we are indwelt by the Spirit of God, you can grieve him and you can quench him. And at times, you can put him in the background so far that you can bring an unsaved woman into your life. And she can lead you into her religion instead of your converting her to your religion. All of these things are possible to you. I marvel when the Lord Jesus is speaking to his own apostles, and he says this. He said, if you then, being evil, and these are those that are his followers, you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. And so there is in you that old Adamic nature, and it can flare up at any time. And some of you think that, well, when I grow old, it will be suppressed. You can ask a man that is older than I here, and he will tell you that it gets worse. It doesn't get better. And for those that say, I have attained sinless perfection, I laugh at them, because no one has attained sinless perfection. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And so we have those in the Bible that are praying this, cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth. And then there are others that should pray, O God, let me not cast thee off in the time of old age. Well, let me tell you this. There are some benefits of old age. Do you know what God says about me as an old man? He says that when I come in your presence, you should rise up in my presence. You're to rise before the hoary head, and I have that head. It said you're to respect the face of the old man, and I'm older than any of you excepting one here. And that happened to me when I went to one assembly. It was an assembly mostly of Eastern Indians, and there was one dear old brother there that was some 70 years of age, but at that time I was 75, and they found out that I was older, and they rejected this 70-year-old man and exalted me. And so there are some benefits being old. And a friend of mine told me this. He said that one old man was saying things that he should not say, and he went and spoke to him about it, but the old man said, I am an old man, I can say anything I please. And so I think I will accept that privilege as well. Some old men can tell you things, and you have to overlook them, you have to understand them, you have to accept them. And it says this, that I have a crown of glory. It says the white hair of an old man is a crown of glory. And so I'm never going to dye this hair. This is my crown of glory. And you're to rise up when you see this white-headed hair. God says that is what is to be done. So God says there are many advantages to old age. And I can say this. Now is our salvation nearer when we first believe. And unless the Lord comes, and unless I happen to be an Enoch or an Elijah, now is my being in the presence of God nearer than when I first believed. But our Savior has promised, having prepared a place, He's coming again to receive us to Himself, that whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. And so, the God of old men and old women is faithful. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Take that promise to heart and never let it go. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for all the things you tell us in your word. Lord, we are glad when you tell us some of them, but our hearts are grieved when we see those men that were dear to you and faithful to you, when we see them failing. And so, our Father, let us who think we stand take heed lest we fall. But let us remember also, if we have that boldness and that certainty, that you will never leave us nor forsake us, we can boast of that, our God. You will never fail us. But our God, let us always fear that we, as Peter, shall fail you. So, our God, make the promise that the Lord Jesus gave just before he went back to heaven. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We accept that promise, our Father, and we rejoice in walking with him till the end of our days. And we pray, our Father, that he might come before those days end. Bless us the way that you will. Our times are in thy hand. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Meeting is over.